Well, dear only Father, I come before you this very day, Lord God, and I thank you so much for the ability to just have access, God. Doesn't matter if it's one person, two people, five, 10, 100,000, 100,000, doesn't matter, God. I thank you so much that people have decided to give their time to this podcast, and I pray that we would grow together, Holy Spirit. I pray that even if the words that I speak do not come out as intended or, you know, according to like the notes, I just give you control of that, and I pray that you would rearrange the words, even if I've spoken other ones, that they would hear what your Spirit is saying, that we would be able to grow together, God, that just like this podcast title says, that we would be men and women who would really be able to distinguish ourselves in the areas that you've called us to succeed in, God. I thank you so much. And, you know, it's by your Holy Spirit and your partnership that we're able to get things done. So I thank you so much for that. And just with humility, we do the podcast today and we just invite you in it, God, that people would be able to really feel just a tangible difference, Holy Spirit. So we ask all these things in your name, the name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey there. Welcome back to the Church Acts podcast. No, it was not a mistake. I just thought that, hey, you know, if I'm praying before anyways, might as well pray with you, right? Makes sense. It is the Church Acts podcast, not just Terry Molinaro sharing random thoughts on the internet. So today I wanted to talk about a man that we find in the Bible who is described as doing something that not only saved his own life multiple times, but something that saved the lives of many others around him. So if we look at today's standards, he wasn't described as someone who had a big following. No one really knew him. As a matter of fact, he was essentially a slave, a captive to a nation far greater and wealthier than the one that he came from. But the Bible says something really interesting about this man. This man, I gave it away in the title and even during what I was praying earlier, but this man distinguished himself. Now, at first I thought that I knew what the word distinguish meant. When I thought about the word at first, I thought about setting oneself apart. Like if there was a bunch of, I don't know, blocks in one pile, but then off to the side, there was like a single block by itself, that would automatically, like it distinguished itself. Or like think of, you know, a bunch of, you know, yellow balls, but then in the middle, there's like one red one. And like that red one, just by nature being different, distinguish itself. But the meaning is actually a lot more interesting than that. Check this out. So the definition in the dictionary of distinguish, it means successful. But now here's where it gets interesting: authoritative and commanding great respect. The definition goes on to say showing dignity or authority in one's appearance or manner. I believe that when the Bible talks about this man distinguishing himself, it was this aura. And I don't mean that in a New Age way. I mean like this presence that he carried. And we're going to talk about what I believe that was later on the episode. So this person, when the Bible says that they distinguished themselves, they walked in a way that portrayed authority. They walked in a way that commanded great respect. And with that often comes attention and platform, which is interesting because this man had no following, as we spoke about just a second ago. This man was not a king, but this man did distinguish himself. Who was he? How did he do it? And what could our lives look like if we learned to do the same? This is the Church Acts podcast. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's gonna be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast, but it's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest out.
This is the Church Acts podcast.
If you haven't figured it out by now, the man that I'm talking about and referring to is Daniel. If you aren't familiar with the story, Daniel, well, I would encourage you to go read it. It is found in, that's right, the book of Daniel. Some mind-blowing stuff here on the show today. But in all seriousness, if you read even the first two chapters, you'll see a few interesting things. You'll see a man, a young man at that, taking big risks on God. You'll see him gain favor with leader after leader until eventually he goes all the way to the king. He gains favor with the king as a captive of this larger nation. And suddenly, even though he's a foreigner, he distinguishes himself to such an extent that he's put in charge over Babylon. We read in chapter 2, verses 48 in Daniel, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men." Now, there's actually a lot going on in the first couple chapters, but there is one thing in particular that I wanted to focus in on. How is this man, as intelligent as he was, I'm sure, how is this man able to distinguish himself beyond that of any other wise people in the region? Keeping in mind that these people ruled the world. Like, Babylon ruled the known world at the time. They were not just some small nation. They ruled militarily, governmentally, economically. So he's with the best of the best, essentially. And we already know, based on how he came to be in Babylon, being an exile of his nation, that Babylon's also getting the best of the best of the surrounding nations and bringing them to Babylon, right? To serve underneath the king. So we already know that it's not just like he's not the smartest and wisest from a small subset of people. It's from a very large pool. And yet he was still able to command great respect. He was still able to walk with authority. If we want to know the answer to that, we need to keep reading. So Daniel 6, verses 3 to 14, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. 'Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?' The king answered, 'The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.' Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you.'" Can we just stop for a second? Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah. At this point, Daniel had been serving the throne for multiple years under multiple kings at this point, okay? And not only that, he was one of the top people in the land. So it just kind of shows the heart of these people that they would say, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. What made Daniel an immovable force? I know we kind of jumped from the beginning of his story, past a few things, into this circumstance right here. But I believe it was his time in prayer, talking with God, getting the wisdom day after day after day. If we're to go even deeper, it wasn't just the actions of prayer. I believe that it was his heart towards God. Think about it. You were the biggest nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world, the finest, smartest people in the world get together. And yet somehow this one kid from a tiny nation, they still refer to him, that exile, right? One kid from a tiny nation is rapidly being promoted and is about to be promoted over you, not only once, but if you continue to read more and more of the book of Daniel, I believe it happens like 3 times with 3 different kings. Of course, this is the third time. You can just see them. Where is he getting this wisdom from? How is it that he knows what he knows? Then they realize, they see this pattern. Three times a day, Daniel goes and prays to God. He gets the wisdom that he needs. It's also interesting as a side note that none of them just realized this and decided to follow after the one true God. Like, I feel like that could have been a much better option if they went that route. Like, you don't have to try to get this guy killed. Maybe you go to God too. But anyway, here's what I wanted to say today. Daniel distinguished himself. Daniel knew things he shouldn't have known. He was able to discern things. He walked in authority. He commanded authority with the presence that surrounded him. He had the wisest of the wise confused as to how this could ever happen. Why? Because Daniel spent time in the presence of God in prayer daily, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, I was thinking about this and God was speaking to me, showing me that there are so many Christians walking around in confusion, not knowing what to do. When the answer is simple, the answer is prayer. It's wild to me, and I fall victim to this as well, so don't think that I'm just like pointing fingers here, but it's wild to me that if I was stuck in business, but had the opportunity to talk with, I don't know, Elon Musk or talk with insert whoever, or if you were, let's say, a basketball player, needed help with something and could call up LeBron James or Michael Jordan could just show up on court and coach you, you would do it in an instant. I was listening to a podcast today, and I know this isn't even a small, like this is a small amount compared to what some people pay for coaching, but they were charging like, you know, $100,000 for them to come speak for an hour at their conference. See, you'd be excited and you'd have this anticipation that your problems would be solved, or at the very least, you'd be helped if you were able to call on these experts. But yet, we are here with the ability to go to the creator of wisdom. Did you hear that? Not someone who's wise. The creator of wisdom. The creator, like I can't say anything about it, the creator of wisdom, encouraged by himself through the Holy Spirit to talk with God, to ask for wisdom if we need it, and that he will give it to us. We have access to the one who created LeBron James. We have access to the one who created Elon Musk, the one who knows literally their every thought, why they do what they do. But we go, oh, it's just God. I'm not even going to bother. I understand if the world, who are blinded from knowing the truth, would treat God with that contempt and disrespect. But in the church, ones who are called Christians, we even do that. Can you believe that? No, it's just God. That's not flashy or exciting. Why would I want to do that? But here's the thing. Has that not been part of the plan of the devil all along? To separate us from God? Because whatever you think prayer is, whatever people or the enemy try and convince you of, prayer is the lifeline that we have here on earth to the creator. I think about even in the garden, the very, very beginning, like Adam walked with God in the garden. What did the enemy want to do? And like, there's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of ways we can, go, a lot of things we can take from this. But if you think of it, what happened when Adam and Eve ate and their minds were open and they essentially sinned, against God, there was a separation right there. There was a separation. I think that's so interesting. So Daniel knew this. When he was pressed, when he was up against a wall, when his life was on the line, he sought the wisdom of God. And in so doing so, he distinguished himself and walked in a great authority. Let me ask you this. Do you ask God for wisdom? Or just make the best call you can given on what you know? It's a flawed way of thinking. See, if we make decisions based on what we know, we are essentially making the decision to trust our facts over anyone else's. The thing is, God knows all the facts and all the variables, so we are cheating ourselves of the most accurate outcome if we want to get logical about it. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to know what to do? I think it's easy to think about times where we needed to know what to do and then just like made a decision. But I'm talking like those times where you are pressed hard. You do not have the information that you need to make the critical decisions that are so vital to make and that need to be made like immediately. Yet at the same time, you know that a decision needs to be made and it falls upon you to make it. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, like high pressure, high stress. It's not like phone a friend. It's like, okay, I need this. I need to make this decision now. If you're in leadership of any capacity, if you're even a parent, I feel like sometimes you know what I'm talking about. Like if you've ever gone through even like health stuff with a loved one, you know exactly what I mean. What would it mean to you to have the wisdom in that moment?
a wisdom that was sound, a wisdom that you knew was sure and you could make subsequent decisions based upon. I never really talk about this. I don't think I actually ever have publicly, but we're friends. I think that I should in this moment. See, there was a time when I was alone with a loved one. It was like a normal day. Nothing was really out of the ordinary when all of a sudden this person that I was with lost function and feeling in their body slowly over time. I was not sure what was happening. I was like, you know, is this person having a heart attack? Are they having like a stroke? Like they could barely speak. They started slurring the words. I was like an unexperienced person, a young person who had no idea what to do. But you know who I had with me in that moment? I had the Holy Spirit. So in my own way, I was like, Holy Spirit, like I need your help quick. What should I do? And it brings a smile to my face, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Find peace in this today. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, in that moment, I heard the whisper of wisdom speak to me. Bring them to the hospital. It is this. They will be fine. Literally, the Holy Spirit told me what was happening, so I did. And you know what happened? The doctor told me once everything settled down and they were fine, exactly what the Holy Spirit spoke to me before even getting to the hospital. See, how can we be anxious for nothing, like that verse says? How can that even be a reality? Well, when you really realize that the God of the universe has sent his Holy Spirit to partner with you, the literal spirit of wisdom to be by your side, when you read, my peace I leave with you. When you read, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you read, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. How could peace not flood into your life? How could you not distinguish yourself? In other words, how could you not walk in authority? See, Daniel did not walk in authority that was of his own. Peace doesn't come from that. True peace doesn't come from that. He distinguished himself and walked in confidence because it was the authority of God that flowed through him. When I was in prayer and God was showing me that there were all these people just filled with confusion, not knowing what to do, it was almost like, hey, it's not hopeless. Hey, you don't need to be confused. You don't need to not know what to do in your marriages or relationships or finances or business or life. The answer is prayer. The solution is prayer. It's always been available. It's not lighting a candle to someone who died many years ago. It's not vain repetition. It's not saying the same things over and over and over again in perfect order. It's you taking time going before God boldly because of the sacrifice of his son and how that put us in right standing with God, making our requests known to God because he is a good father full of wisdom, mercy, and grace. It's getting firsthand information and direction, not secondhand, knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, with whom to do it. Why aren't we doing this more? You know what? If I have to be honest, why aren't we doing this at all? Like, I don't want to make a generalization, but it's like you would do literally anything except go to God. You know, like I think if we look back on our lives, and I'm speaking to myself here too, conviction's hitting me too. It's like, how many times have I gone to this person, that person? How many times have I thought about something? How many times have I purchased books on a topic? How many times have I, you know, at times, like I even tried counseling this one time, which I've spoken about in the podcast before, only to come back and say, oh my goodness, why have I not gone to the one who actually created wisdom itself? Why have I not gone to God when God says, hey, don't be anxious. Just bring your prayers before me. Bring your requests. I am a good father. I want to give you the wisdom that you need. I've sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there to partner with you. We need to develop that relationship. We are so lost without it. Remember that TV show with Sandra Bullock, Bird Box? I never actually watched it, but everyone walking around with like a blindfold on, unable to see. I just like knew that picture of it. That's what we're like without prayer. We hear a noise. Perceive something, but don't really know. So we like move towards it only to hear like another noise. So we move towards that all while tripping over things along the way. You know, depending on the blindfold, you can sometimes even see glimpses like shapes or shadows. Like if you've ever had anyone like tie a blindfold around you for a game or something, but with a blindfold on, you never see a clear picture. So we go around, we guess, oh, it's over there. Oh, it's over there. I remember I was at youth group volunteering
And there was this one game and you had to hit people with like a pool noodle, try to like tag them out, and all while wearing a blindfold. So people like make noises and you'd like move towards that, but you had a general direction, but like you couldn't see clearly. And I think that is exactly the perfectly painted picture. See, when we spend time in prayer, it's like the blindfold comes off and we can see with clarity, we can see with precision. That is why Daniel was able to distinguish himself, not because of some natural ability. Now, he was wise, like he was, you know, attractive. Like if you go at the beginning, like, yeah, there, he did have these natural qualities about him, but because the God of the universe who created everything, who gave the king the dreams that Daniel would then go on to interpret, who knew what evil plans people were going to make for Daniel. See, because God partnered with Daniel, because Daniel did what James talks about, he drew near to God, and as a result, God drew near to him and gave him the wisdom that he needed, therefore enabling Daniel to distinguish himself. Like, Daniel was able to walk in this. Because I got a question, how could we not distinguish ourselves when we're partnering with the one who knows it all? What does distinguishing ourselves look like in our everyday life? I can give you a couple personal examples, some examples from my own life. So I wrote down three things, and it's obviously not limited to this, but just three stories came to mind right away. I said, distinguish for perseverance sake. You know, when I worked at the radio station, there were so many people who left. And there were some people who were disgruntled, some people who were like, I just can't take it. I can't take this. I can't take the way that this is being treated. I just can't take that, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. I did work for a ministry. So of course the enemy's not going to like that, right? And then not only that, like, you know, no one's perfect. No people are perfect. And there were some times where I felt like the enemy really exploited certain personality traits in people. And it made it a very difficult environment sometimes. I'm not bad mouthing them, but how was it that I was able to stay for as long as I did? I stayed for about 12 and a half years until the moment God said, okay, Terry, it's time for you to move on to the next thing. I don't want you to focus on me trying to say anything negative, because let's be honest, you look more than 2 seconds in any organization, you can find some things that are challenging. What I do want you to focus on is I was distinguished to persevere. So distinguish for perseverance sake. How was that I was able to do that? Well, I don't talk about it a lot, but let's say there was an employer or someone who was giving me a hard time. What they do not know is that I would bring it to the Holy Spirit, say, God, I don't understand the situation. It feels strange. Like, why is it that I'm being singled out? Or why is it that this is going on? And the Holy Spirit would then give me wisdom as to what was going on in that person's life, why it was that they were acting the way that they were. Now, what do I have? I have perspective. I have a heavenly perspective. God, give me wisdom. And now all of a sudden it's like I'm praying over the building. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing, okay, this is why this is going on. And this is why, because the enemy's coming from this angle. He's giving me spiritual wisdom of what's actually going on behind the scenes. And because of that, I was able to persevere, right? That's how I was able to distinguish myself in that circumstance. The next thing, distinguished and to save a lot of time and effort. I remember there was one person who was asking for my help on a big project and they were going to pay me. And I was like, oh, like this is interesting. But like, I wasn't sure if I should do it. So I was like, Holy Spirit, I just asked for your wisdom. And I kid you not, the Holy Spirit said, like, basically this is not for me, this project, because it's not going to go anywhere. That is, you know how valuable that is. If you are a business owner, if you are like a leader of any capacity, should I start this ministry? Should I start this small group? Right at the beginning, God goes, hey, you can do this, but this is not going to go anywhere. So like, you know, decline it basically. What did I do? I followed that wisdom, declined it. Project ended up going nowhere. That could have taken up hundreds of hours of my time. The last thing I want to talk about, distinguished in peace and trust. You know how many times God said, Terry, this is going to come to pass. And so you know what I choose to do? I look around sometimes and I see that it's difficult. And I look around sometimes and it doesn't look like it's going to come to pass. But I will be distinguished and I will overcome a lot of things that people will not overcome. And I will be able to persevere and endure. Why? Because I know, I believe in my heart that God said things would come to pass. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they will. Listen, friends, Stay with God. That's the encouragement I want to give you today. I know there are so many things out there that scream at us for attention, so many things that can be enjoyed, but never for a second forget where your help comes from, where your strength comes from. It's not from just binging TV shows. It's not from finding this vice or hanging out with these people or just from a wise family member or a wise friend who can give you counsel or even the podcast or anything like that. You need to know where the passion, the energy, and the wisdom comes from. Spend time in prayer. For goodness sake, we just need to do these things. Spend time in prayer, expecting to hear and getting the wisdom. When you do, you will distinguish yourself quickly. You will leapfrog people in your industry. You will be a man or a woman who doesn't just stumble around aimlessly, but one who takes action and sees things accomplished for the kingdom here on this earth. I remember I was in prayer and I was like, God, like, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And this is before, you know, I developed the discipline of getting into prayer. And I definitely need to work on that even more and more and more. And I said, God, I don't want to hear your voice like in an obscure way. I don't even really want a picture or just a vision. I know you can speak through those things, but I want to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Like I'm talking to a friend in front of me. I remember I had this picture in my mind. I was like, you know, when I'm here doing this radio show, talking about myself in the past, I want it to be like you're my co-host right over there in the chair and I can see it in the studio. I'm just what I'm picturing in my mind right now. I want to know what's going on. I want to speak to you directly. And then you know what the Holy Spirit responded to me? He said, now you're thinking outside of the box. You know what? It's available to you and to me. But how much do you actually want to see that come to pass? Once again, we just have to close with draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you realize that there is something that you can do to make the creator of the universe lean in, right? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When you do, you will distinguish yourself. You will walk in authority because it's not going to be your own ability, right? It's going to be the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe that it was. These people like, I just don't understand. How is he getting this information? Daniel, like how is he smarter than us? How is he coming up with these ideas? How is he able to do this and do that and just have all this clarity of mind? It was the presence of God that he was in. And that presence, that presence followed him throughout his days. And everything he did, he was able to distinguish himself. Because that's exactly what the presence of God does on a life of a believer when we get into prayer. Until next time, my friend, you go distinguish yourself. You get into prayer. If you need something practical, even first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, God, I just pray you lead and guide my day. Just pray a simple prayer like that. God, if you're going through something that's difficult, bring it up in prayer right now. Do not forget, as soon as this podcast is over, it's going to be over in a couple of seconds. Just bring it up to God. God, I don't know what to do with that work. God, there's that difficult coworker. God, I need your wisdom at work. God, I don't know how to lead my team. God, I feel like my marriage is falling apart. Like whatever it is, go to God in prayer and distinguish yourself as a result. God bless, my friends.